insanity, and welcome to this episode of our podcast. Today we got the Derby special, the Run for the Roses. We have our boy Ken Showstrong, followed up by our friend Brian Thomas. We're going to talk a little bit about the knock on the favorite sovereignty, plus this is a closer's race in our opinion. So what do you say we get this thing started? Hello. All right, we got Ken on. Ken Showstar, our man here. By the way, if anyone needs some taxes, give him a call. You need your taxes done? Yep. I might be calling you here soon because I'm tired of dealing with that mess. Ken, can you give us a little background as far as you're concerned in the horse racing industry?
I have been, I guess, an owner or partial owner, might get a better explanation, for several years. Probably going back to 2011, I guess, where me and some friends bought into a horse. And once you got the bug, it's hard to get rid of it. And so we have been owners, really still own one. We have one filly that she's not racing yet, but we're looking to get a trainer for her. And hopefully we'll get that settled here in the next few weeks. And hopefully she'll be good. All indications are she's very good.
Now, at least one of your previous horses not only raced across America, but internationally, did it not?
Nakatomi. Nakatomi did quite well. I think he was over in Dubai, came in second in the sprint race up there. Yeah. So he's done really well. Unfortunately, we don't own him anymore, but he's had two Breeders' Cup sprint appearances. It's one of number of stakes races over the years, and as a six-year-old, he's still pretty active.
Did he race in the UK as well?
No, he did not. He's been in Dubai. Oh, no, take that back. He did. He did. He ran his second race. He broke his maiden in his first race here at Keeneland, and then Leslie Ward, his trainer, decided to send him off to the I can't remember the name of the races that they have over there in the UK. But he was a two-year-old at the time, and they put him on turf, and he didn't perform very well in that race. That was his only real clunker in all the races he's run.
Was it the turf or the fact he was running in the wrong direction?
Well, it was a straight race. There was no turns.
Okay.
So it was definitely probably the turf. It's the only one and only time he's run on the turf and didn't do so well. And I think he gained his pay. But it was in a field of about 25 horses.
Not unlike the Derby we're getting ready to discuss.
Yeah, speaking of wrong terms and big fields, we're here today to talk about the 151st Run for the Roses. So, to start this off, I think we break this down. I know you guys tell me. I think we should break this down in a form of, all right, who do you like as the winner? So, winner takes all. And then we can talk about the rest of the bets you like, whether it be exacta boxes, trifecta, you know, win, play, show, et cetera. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Don't you want? I've not done my handicapping.
Yeah, look, I don't do anything really until the day of, because I like betting on the hot hand. That's just my theory on it.
Hot hand being the jockey.
That is correct.
Yeah, there's always good jockeys in this race.
There are, but just like any sport, every athlete has off days and days where no one can beat them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I've always gone on the jockey premise. So, for example, when I go to make bets on this race, the Derby, I'll be watching all the previous races that day at Churchill leading up to it, and you'll notice there'll be a trend of three or four jockeys that are continually in the money or winning, coming in first, and those are the guys I like picking because – you can look at the horses, you can look at the trainers. Like trainers, that's a long-term effect on a horse to me. But the factor that really comes into play, since there's so many good trainers in the race, to me is what jockey has the short-term effect that's having the hot hand that day or the last few days. I think that it holds a little bit more weight in some regards to me as far as picking your horses for a race like this.
Yeah. When I'm looking at the Derby, I'm usually a guy that I like the jockeys. The Derby is the field is so big and so good. You really have to look at a horse that has proven himself as somebody who can is able to weed through traffic and has to have some closing speed and has to be able to get a history of being able to work through larger fields and get some of these horses that have only been in fields that are 6-7 horses deep. They get in there and they start getting bumped around. They fade pretty quickly.
Well, it's interesting you would say that because the prohibitive favorite journalism, as I look at the notes that the Daily Racing Form has provided for me, suggests the knock against him would be nothing he did wrong, but the field size, as in 4 of his 5 starts, he's only competed in 5-horse fields, beating a total of 23 rivals combined, while he has 19 opponents in the Derby.
It's going to be a lot of anxiety for him on that track.
That's why if you were you're in a bet against a favorite, that would be the one to bet against, even though he shows no signs of weakness. I'd be curious to see what happens when he gets out there.
Well, not only that, if you look at this field, at least based on my recent memory, this Derby field, there's a lot more potential as far as the number of closing style horses are concerned than I've seen in a few years. There's a couple of good ones too, which I'm not going to say they're going to win, but they could spoil second or third place finishes for other horses, that's for sure.
Everybody loves a closer.
Yeah, and the Derby is full of long shots coming in. It's like you always got to look down the field and pick a couple long shots. Because I'm trying to think over the last 10 years, you probably had at least 3 or 4 double-digit odds horses come in.
What was the one that was 80-1? What was that horse's name? That was only 2 or 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah, Rich Strike.
That's it.
The one that was basically an also eligible. They had to ship the jockey down from Belterra here and put him on his back. And it was a horse that was very used to, and a jockey that was very used to navigating traffic. And he just kept weaving in and out of horses and losing speed.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't, nobody in their right mind would have thought he was going to be the winner, but he did it.
Well, very few did. That's why he paid such a high price.
That's right. You know, I'm thinking
it'd be a long time before we see a long shot like that hit again, I think.
That's probably true. But, you know. But this, you know, this year's field is full of got a lot of long shots. I mean, you got obviously journalism is the odds-on favorite. Was it Sovereignty and Sandman are also another, you know, got decent odds. But you're gonna have horses like Luxor Cafe, which I think that's a Japanese horse if my memory serves me right.
Yes,
it is.
You know, and Rodriguez, I think, was one that I looked at it when I skimmed over some things yesterday. There's potential long shots that could come in and win this thing.
Yeah, I like the mid-range long shots too. I mean, so we talked about closers before, though. Most closers are going to be mid-range long shots to long shots typically. Two of the ones I like, and Dad, I believe you would agree with me, would be Burnham Square with Hernandez Jr. riding him, and Final Gambit with I might pronounce this wrong, but Lewin Machado riding him. They're both closers, but you saw you may or may not have seen, but Burnham Square crushed it from last place to first in a closing aspect in the Bluegrass Stakes with Hernandez riding him. And then if you go look at Final Gambit's numbers and Lewin Machado's stats so far this year, he's one of those jockeys I would look at and say, okay, yeah, he's got a shot at doing something in this race.
I wouldn't disagree. I think he's had a good year.
Now, does it concern you at all when you see Sandman and Sovereignty that they're in the 17th and 18th hole?
Yes, because isn't that one of those spots that hasn't had a winner in forever, if ever? It's like the one hole. The one hole's terrible. You get insane with 17 and 18.
Yep.
But I don't know if that's sometimes, I think sometimes that's overrated. You know, what spot they're in. It all depends upon how the horse breaks, what the traffic is like, and what his running style is.
Well, now, a horse like Sovereignty that has actually had a win at Churchill, does that do anything for your propensity to likely bet them?
It helps, you know, because the familiarity with the track is a good thing. I know we don't know what the weather is going to be like. I guess we probably do right now. I haven't looked at the weather report, but if you get a little rain, you get a wet track. Some of these horses that come in from the West Coast aren't used to that. And you get somebody that's run, in the Midwest is used to, temperature. Let's say the temperature is only 50 degrees. Well, they might have an advantage of the kids. The fact that they see a familiar track and certainly helps, calm them down.
All right, so here's your weather. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you got PM thunderstorms, no greater than 51% chance in the afternoons. So I'd say there's not going to be a lot of moisture leading up to race day. On race day, as of right now, it's partly cloudy with a high of 66. I'd say those are pretty optimal conditions.
It's a hot, yes, those are very, very good conditions. If they hold, of course, like journalism, who comes from the West Coast is probably going to feel pretty good about his chances.
Yeah, he'll be at peak performance based on weather, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here to find out how you feel about his chances.
Yeah, so what do you got, Ken?
As I said in the opening, I haven't handicapped it yet. So,
I got full faith and confidence
it's
in
a
you.
It's a pure cop-out. But, if I had to say, is journalism the horse to beat? Yes, he is. So... What are the downsides? Well, 20 horse field, that's his downside. If he gets out in front and holds it, he's not going to be affected by the traffic. Then I think he's going to run away with it. If he gets bumped around out of the gate, he's going to have trouble.
Yeah, good news is he's middle of the pack pole position wise.
Mm-hmm. So he's in a good. He's definitely in a good spot. If you look at the history of pole position. There's been several winners come out of that spot.
Now, what about that jockey that's on him, Rispoli? What do you know about him?
He's a really good jockey. Mostly on the West Course, West Coast, Santa Anita, Del Mar. I know those are his tracks. But Humberto, he used to be unbeatable on turf. So he's a really good turf jockey. But he's also does very well out in the West Coast. So certainly an excellent guy on the journalism's back.
All right. Who do you like after that if you had to pick? Let's treat it like a PP form. One, two, three, four. You don't have to give me any specific order, but what other three horses do you like for this race?
Well, I think I mentioned Sovereignty, Luxor Cafe, and... I'm going to have to pick, that's going to be just based on sire, maybe Tiztastic.
Tiztastic, okay. Is there any reason you like those specifically?
Tiztastic, I think just because of his sire and his great breeding. Other than that, I don't know if he's been a superstar, but he's made the Derby, so he can't be that bad.
And he's got a good jockey on him, Rosario.
Yep, damn. Say that about just about every horse here. They got good jockeys on them.
They got good, but then there's good and there's great. I would put Rosario more in that latter category than the former, cool. If it was me.
Yep. And if you want to look at somebody that he was a 2-year-old champion, but he struggled recently, and that's Citizen Bowl. I mean, you're going to get some pretty good odds on him. So if you can find his 2-year-old form, he may have a chance to do something.
Yeah, his only problem is being in the one hole.
So I'd say he's probably going to win, but he may come in and he may get the board. But you just got to find
All right, Dad, what do you got?
Well, I mean, certainly it's hard to knock journalism, but it's not in me to bet on the favorite. So I'm not going to go that route.
I'm with you.
Although it would certainly be in the mix for any exotic bets I would do, whether it's exactas or trifecta boxes. You know, I'm a big fan of sovereignty, and going back to one that Ken mentioned before, we discussed earlier today, I haven't ruled out Rodriguez yet. If Rodriguez can get out on the front in the front, get the lead, and maybe hold that lead, I think that certainly rates a chance, especially coming off his last race, which was pretty strong. So those would be my three at the moment. To your point, I also like to look at the jockeys to see if there's any specific jockeys that are having a really good day on that specific day, because there's a lot of other races that are very competitive. And it's not unlike baseball, you know. We're Reds fans. You know, somebody like Lux gets in a zone and can have three or four hits in a night. And jockeys can do the same thing. I've been at Keeneland where sometimes, whether it's Pat Day in the old days or more recently one of the Ortiz, they can reel off three or four big wins in a day. And, you know, that's something to monitor. How about yourself?
All right, hold on. Let me look this up. All right, so we only have one day of racing so far on record for Churchill, or 2 days, excuse me. Your top jockeys so far at Churchill, 26th through the 28th of this month. So that'd been what, 3 days? You got Saez, Jose Ortiz, Irad Ortiz, Lewin Mercado, Lannery, he's not in it. And then you got Gabriel Saez. Most of the rest of the guys aren't in it. Hernandez, who's on Burnham, is down at the bottom of the pack. So if we're going based on my jockey theory and the fact that, like you, I do not like necessarily betting on the favorite, I think if I'm going to pick one to win it, I'm going to go with Rodriguez and the old Wiley vet Mike Smith riding him. Now, with that being said, I think there's a lot of closing potential to spoil some of this. I like Burnham Square to finish in the top three, not necessarily to win, because even though he closed pretty well in the Bluegrass Stakes, when he won, I mean, it was by a nose. So me, my betting theory is I usually pick a horse to win place show, so that's going to be Rodriguez. Then I'll do an exacta box with three horses. I'd probably go with Rodriguez, Journalism, and gonna have to say probably Final Gambit with Lewin Mercado. He's been doing decent, and that horse has some serious closing potential. And then I also will then follow that up with a four horse trifecta box, which for me would then be Rodriguez, Journalism, Final Gambit, and Burnham Square. I like the closers. When I'm doing the exotic bets, I don't like excluding the favorite. I've used this method in the past, and there was a couple derbies where I hit the winner, the exacta, and the trifecta doing it that way.
So, you're way ahead of me then.
Look, I fly by the seat of my pants when I bet. I've trained it to quickly analyze information on the forums and go with it. So. And I keep the same betting strategy year to year. I don't really stray too far outside of those bets.
I haven't graduated beyond an exacta box.
That's because
the accountant in me won't allow me to bet that much money.
Even though I do some of those, I never win them. So.
But you trick yourself into thinking you got a pretty good chance.
Absolutely, yeah. That's
what happens to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why I bet exactas when I can't even pick the winner.
Yeah, but see, so what I mentioned before, though, like I'll watch all the races leading up to it. Two out of four of those horses I picked for that trifecta box, that may change based on jockey performance that day. So, like I said, I'll sit there and start analyzing the races. You'll start seeing names continually pop up and win place or show. And a lot of times, those guys are going to hit in the money. I don't know why. Like I said, I think it's just like any athlete. Some days you're feeling it. Some days you're not necessarily on the top of your game. It's just one of those deals, because you got two athletes essentially in this event. You got the horse and you got the jockey.
Well, yeah. And I think at the end of the day, we can all agree the best horse doesn't always win the Derby.
That is definitely true. Rich Strike showed us that. That Peter's famous. Came out of nowhere, won the Derby, and I don't think he did much of anything after that.
Yeah.
He's competitive, but I don't think he certainly wasn't an elite horse.
Yeah. Well, and like we talked about with journalism being the favorite, I mean, if there were a Derby to bet against the favorite, I do like this one, because if you're talking about pros and cons of a horse, he's got more cons going against him than the typical favorite does. Like, you know, when American Pharoah came in, everyone just, bigger, better, faster, stronger. He's going to beat the brakes off of him. That's what he did. But sometimes you have a favorite, but he's not 100% a clear favorite. That's kind of how I feel about journalism on this one.
I don't know what his final odds will be, but if he goes off at 5-1 or 6-1, he's definitely worth it.
Yeah, at those odds, usually the favorite's closer to like even odds. Yeah,
usually 5-2. That's my guess on this year's field, because you don't have that superstar horse that everybody thinks is going to win. So you're going to see, you know, 3 or 4, 3 to 1 probably is what I'm guessing. Maybe 2.5.
And it's funny, now that I'm thinking about it, when we talk about odds, if he goes off at 5-1, for those of you that don't know, when it's 5-1 odds, those odds aren't created by experts. Those odds are based on the number of people in the general public betting on said horse. So just because it's 3-1 odds doesn't mean that's all information from strictly experts in horse racing. I think people forget that sometimes.
That's why they call it parimutuel betting, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And at the end of the day, there's a reason they call it gambling.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about this, right? You can do favorite color, favorite number, jockey silks, bet on the name. I mean, that's what makes it fun. Mm-hmm. Which, speaking of long shots, I do that with the Derby every year. I don't pick like the longest shot, but I'll pick like a mid-range long shot. So if the longest odds are like 50-1 and there's one that's like 20-1, I'll pick that 20-1 horse to win, and I'll put like $10 on him to win. And if it pays out, great. I've literally covered all my other bets for the race. If not, it is what it is.
Looking forward to seeing how it falls out on Saturday.
I want to see Mike Smith win one. How old is he now?
Money Mike. I thought he was in his mid to late 50s.
Hold on. Let's look at this. Would he be the oldest jockey to ever win it?
That's a good question.
He's 59.
There you go. I was in the ballpark.
He's our age.
could you guys imagine riding a horse that fast at your age?
Can you imagine me riding a horse? if you want to punish that horse, put me on its back. See how long he carries me.
Not going to be across the finish line, that's for sure.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just about guarantee if he wins, he'd probably be the oldest jockey to win the Kentucky Derby, unless it's some obscure stat from like the first year they did it or something.
Yeah, I'm sure you just type in that question and they'll tell you who the oldest Kentucky Derby winning jockey is.
Here.
And you might find it might be a big name.
Bill Schumacher, who guided Ferdinand to victory in 1986 at age 54.
Bill Schumacher, he's a legend.
So Mike's got him this year.
Yeah, so I got to go with Mike Smith. I want to see him win. I want to see him break that record. 59 years young.
Who would your grandmother bet on?
Mike Smith. That's how old he is. So, all right, Ken. Well, thank you for your time, dude.
All right.
Hey, when you complete that handicapping, just for kicks and giggles, why don't you go ahead and send us your picks there, buddy?
All right, I'll do that. I'll probably have that done Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, see, that's how I usually roll. I'm like an hour before. All right, I finally figured it out.
Yeah, probably Saturday now I think about it. Playing golf all day Friday, so.
Oh, tough life.
Yes, it is.
So, all right. All right, fellas, thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you, Ken, for your time. Now we have our good friend Brian Thomas coming on. We're going to get his opinion on what he likes in the Derby. Brian has been a longtime friend of ours, going to Keeneland every fall and spring with us. So let's hear from Brian Thomas. All right, so we will get on the Reds here in a minute. First, so Thomas, I don't know if you know this or not. So everyone knows, we had Thomas on last year. Mr. Red himself.
Yeah.
But he's also a regular participant in our Keeneland group in the spring and the fall. So, Brian, I don't know if you know this or not, but by hopping on tonight, you have volunteered yourself to be a guest on two podcasts. One for the Derby and one about the Reds.
All right.
And they're both a gamble.
Yes.
The real question is, what's your betting strategy? Kung Fu fighting?
I've been on a cold streak, so when Keeneland's running, I bet through the app, and I've just been, I'm hitting half the exacta and two thirds of the trifecta. I'm chasing too much, so I've been ice cold lately.
That happens when you're going with the exacta and the trifecta, man. Sometimes you could be chasing a win, dude.
Yep. Try to follow the jockeys. So.
Ooh, sounds similar to my game plan.
He oftentimes goes with a single number as well.
Yeah. So
I've known him to go with five for an entire race card. Other numbers, Thomas?
No, I usually do the four. So last fall, the day we went to Keeneland, it was awesome. I think he cashed in seven of the first eight, six of the first seven, something like that, but this last trip, but I think it was on a heavy favorite. He came in once, so I lost a few bucks on that one.
Yeah. The fun thing to do, where you were there the time we had that show pull and we had it running through like the 10th race before we lost.
I don't know if I was there for that one. We've had it go a little bit, but
I thought you were, because there was like almost 50% of the races. So for people who aren't familiar with it, you go with a big group, you do the show pool. So everyone puts $1 or $2 in, and then all that money goes, and you vote on which horse you want to pick to show, come in third place. Most votes for a horse, that horse is the one that gets bet on. You win, if you win, all the money goes into a show bet on the next race. Well, we got to like race 10 before we lost, and like almost half the races, it was a tie on votes for which horse to bet it on. And I ended up having to pick because I was in charge of it. And I don't know how I managed to get it right that many times, but I did. It was pretty wild. We were up a few hundred bucks on show bets, and then we just lost it all.
Well, I'm glad you were accepting that responsibility and not me.
Yeah, you're too anal and tidy for that. Especially when all the shenanigans at the track's going on.
And if there's any shenanigans, I usually get a lecture from your mother.
Yeah. So, let's talk Derby. Brian, all right. Who do you like?
Let's talk win first.
Don't say the four horse.
No. The four's the favorite, I think, isn't it?
No.
I actually do like that horse, Rodriguez.
Were you a fan of what was the baseball movie?
What was that?
Sandlot.
Sandlot.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
I didn't even think about that.
Well, I like Rodriguez. I think Mike Smith is on him. But he's a bit of a front runner, and the Derby, I think you want a closer. But it's a Baffert horse. This is his first Derby back since, 2021, 2022, whenever he got suspended.
I didn't think about that either. He's got something to prove. Not that he really has direct control once the starting gates open, but
he's tied for the most wins, I think, by a trainer.
Well, and you know who's on the four horse? If he wins, we talked about it, was Shoster. Mike Smith is 59. If he wins, he'll be the oldest jockey to ever win the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, he will be the oldest. Okay.
We'll probably never see anyone age 59 race in the Kentucky Derby again, if I had to bet.
How old was Shoemaker?
54.
How was
we looked that up.
Yeah, we looked it up.
Yep, 54 years old.
There you go. Maybe it is number four, dude. That horse sounds like it's got some destiny on its side.
It might. Well, I like the four, and then let's see. Who's the other? Oh, I like Burnham Square.
We talked about that.
That's more of a closer. That was I think Burnham Square won the Bluegrass.
Yep.
It did.
See, I like Burnham Square, but I don't know that I like him to win. He inched by at the last second there in the Bluegrass. I like him to be in the money. I don't know if I like him as a spoiler to win it all, though. That's the thing about closers, right? Like, they're usually always – you can get them always to be second or third. But first place, it's – especially in the Derby, for some reason, it just usually seems like a front runner's game.
Yeah, I'll probably do some more studying this week, but at first glance, that's I'm leaning towards those two, so I may throw them into an exacta and grab somebody else. What surprised me was, because I usually follow our Rad Ortiz Jr., he's like 0 for 7 or 0 for 8 in the Derby, and he's not really on anybody that's anything special either.
Oh, what horse is he
on? Publisher, number 13.
Yeah, well, look at that horse, though. That's got some closing potential. I'm looking at it right now in the form.
But Publisher's a maiden. Based on my research, Publisher's a maiden, and this is only three maidens have ever won the Derby. The last one was in the 30s.
Well, if we're going to go that route, let's see.
I do like the fact that Publisher's last three races were stakes races, so it was no small feat. It wasn't, you know, some couple of one-off races he's been running.
I think Burnham Square may be a gelding.
I believe you are correct.
Geldings rarely, if ever, win the Derby. Don't know why.
There's pluses and minuses.
I mean, they're carrying less weight, so I don't know why they and they're not going to chafe, so I don't know why that'd be a problem. But
oh, hold on now. So I know all this about horse racing, but how is the one horse a publisher or a maiden and the other one a gelding? Explain that for people that don't know, and apparently I'm one of them.
So a maiden,
I can bet on horses, but
a maiden's a horse that's never won.
How did that make the Derby?
And a gelding has his junk cut off.
I thought that's what maiden was, but it didn't make sense, because how's a maiden horse in the Derby? That's nuts.
Well, all you have to do is finish in the money in the right race or two, and you're in.
Winning,
you're
true.
Yeah, Publisher's
placing you're in, showing you're in.
Yeah, Publisher's what, raced seven times and been second three times and third three times, or second two times and third three times.
Yeah. What, his last race out March 29th? He closed that one 7-3-2. But that was with Flavian Pratt riding him too.
Yeah, so they switched, and Flavian's got, he's on, I think, well, he's on a horse, but he's on the, he's listed as the jockey on the Baeza alternate. In case somebody scratches, Baeza gets in. So Pratt will be on something.
Yep. What do you think about the favorite? Well, the favorite as it stands right now, Journalism.
It's won four in a row, three graded stakes races. I stay away from the favorite in the Derby. I have a hard time going with the favorite.
That makes three of us.
I may throw it, you know, if I do a trifecta, I think I have a hard time leaving him out.
That's exactly what I said.
So does it impact your decision at all if four out of the five times he's raced, the field was five horses total each race?
I did not know that.
You're now going to be 20 horses in one race.
That crowd might impact him. I didn't know. So let me ask you this, John. Where do you find out how many horses were in the race?
He Googled it.
Actually, I'm disappointed in you, Sparky, for saying that.
I may have figured it out. I'm on the thing that you get through the Keeneland Select site. You ever do the past performances?
I'm looking at the form, and to the very right of each race, it puts the number of entrants.
Got it. I printed off that PDF you can get through the Select app, and I noticed those numbers over there, and I was wondering what the heck that was for. So that
5, 5, 5, 10, 5.
Well, it did win. It broke his maiden in the 10-horse race.
Well, this is going to be a cavalry charge.
That's the one problem we talked about earlier with the favorite is the number of horses in the races it's run. And the other thing my dad and I talked about, Rispoli, he's a West Coast jockey, so he's going to be flying in. Again, if you go with my idea or concept of betting on the jockeys that have the hot hand that day or that week, those jockeys that have been running Churchill all week and running all day at Churchill, I think they'll have a little bit more of an advantage than Rispoli will, because it's almost like a home field advantage, if you know what I mean, in other sports.
Well, is he here this week?
I don't know.
I mean, we've got Oaks on Friday. There's a bunch of stakes races on Friday.
I'm sure he'll run that, but still, like, there's jockeys that are going to be running Churchill all week this week, right. I would assume, that are in the Derby.
Yeah, all the Midwest guys are there. I was looking at some of it today. Like Luis Saez and Ortiz and Pratt, they were all running today.
Yeah. Surprisingly, Luis Saez is not in the Derby.
And he's been doing well. He was he had a strong meet at Keeneland.
All right, let's do this. You said you like the jockey method. You kind of like betting based on the jockeys sometimes.
Yeah.
Who do you like right now? Who's doing well this year? Give me four or five jockeys you like right now. Not historically, but right now.
So right now, I think Jose Ortiz. He had a good meet at Keeneland.
Yep.
And he's on somebody. I can't remember who he's on. I saw he was running in the Derby. Somebody I didn't dislike. I need to look at it a little bit more. But usually, I like the Ortiz brothers. I like Pratt. I like Saez. I think Gaffalione is hurt. He's usually, you know, a good one, especially at Keeneland. Those are the main guys. Velasquez, every now and then, I like to see what kind of horse he's on, or if he's got a good trainer combo. But it's probably the Pratt and the Ortiz boys.
I don't think you can ever count Velasquez or Smith out.
Yeah, Smith doesn't seem like he's run, or at least he wasn't at Keeneland much during the spring meet. That's kind of when I start paying attention to horse racing. It's kind of like when the Masters comes on, that's when I start paying attention to golf.
What about Joel Rosario?
I've never liked Joel Rosario.
Really? I know he's won it at least once, the Derby, that is.
Oh, he probably has. But that's what I've never taken a shine to Joel. Well, who do you guys like in the Derby?
He's on a horse that's got some closing potential.
Which one's he on?
14, Tiztastic.
Well, the Johnny V's on, what, Grand, which that horse looks interesting.
Well, you can make a case for most of the horses in the field looking interesting.
Right. Velasquez has ridden him to victory twice. They weren't stakes races, but the one time he didn't ride him, he finished second with, I think, Dylan Davis up.
Well, I'll tell you who I like. Since I gave you crap about the number four horse, I like the number four horse. I feel a little history on the side of that horse right now, to be honest with you. And then same as you, I like betting exactas and trifectas, so I hate leaving the favorite out of those.
Right.
So you go with Journalism, and then my other two, as it stands right now, the number three horse, Final Gambit, with Lewin Mercado. Mercado's actually not been doing too bad recently. And then the other horse I had was Burnham Square, the Bluegrass Stakes winner, with Hernandez Jr. on it. Hernandez Jr. is another good jockey. I mean, they're all good jockeys, but he's been doing decent as well.
I know. I try to limit the jockeys, but as I follow it more, I take note of the jockey that keeps winning, who's hot that day, and next thing you know, my list of four has gone to like eight, and then it's like, and then who do you bet on?
Yeah, but you'll see, like I said before, you'll see a pattern. You'll see like three or four names consistently showing up in the money. Mm-hmm. And when those are the names that you can remember, like, oh, yeah, he's been hitting it, That's just kind of how I go with it as a gut instinct approach to, the race is about to go. Who am I betting on?
Yep.
Oh, I remember this dude, seeing his name several times today. All right, cool. Send it.
I follow the same. John, who do you like?
Well, we do have some overlap. Clayton and I discussed Rodriguez this morning. So I certainly like what Rodriguez has to offer. Certainly, if I'm doing an exact or trifecta, journalism's going to have to be there as the betting favorite. Can't leave him out. And then I'm looking at the possibility of, well, the other one I really like is Sovereignty.
That's the second favorite, right?
It is the second favorite. We'll see if it goes off as the second favorite, but it finished second last time out. The horse to which it lost, Tappan Street, was doing pretty well at that point in time and has since gotten hurt. So he's not in the Derby. And, you know, before that, he reeled off a couple wins. He had a win at Churchill Downs. And then, you know, I was thinking of a longer shot that's a closer. I was going back and forth. You know, there's a couple to consider, certainly. Burnham Square. The other one that a lot of people like is Luxor Cafe. But right now, I'm kind of leaning towards Tiztastic. Not necessarily on the jockey, Joel Rosario, but been looking at that horse, and you know, it was really strong its last time out. I believe before that race, there was one prognosticator that said that the way it was coming into that race, it was its best bet of the week, and it was a almost 8-1 shot. Yeah. So... I'm willing to give that one some strong consideration.
So his trainer is like 0-28 or 0-26.
If I put it in exotic, I only need it to get in the money.
There you go.
I don't need it to win.
I'm counting the amount of horses in this race with closing potential or a closing track record.
Well, there's quite a few, more than usual.
There's like at least six, Sovereignty being one of them.
Correct.
That's a lot. That's a lot of closers. This is going to be an exciting Derby, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah. I think, first of all, we need either Rodriguez or Citizen Bull to get out there quickly and set the pace if you want to set it up for a closer. And then we'll see which closer can do it. But even though I like Sovereignty, which Brian aptly pointed out as the second choice in the morning line, you know, I was looking for another closer that was a long shot to just kind of make it interesting from an exotics perspective.
All right. If you were picking strictly based on name, what's your horse in this race?
In the Derby?
Yeah. I mean, you got to. That's how horse racing is
fun. I do that sometimes, too. Usually anything that has bourbon in it, I like to bet on. we don't have that. That's a good question. Strictly on name.
I'd have to say Sandman because I enjoy my sleep.
I was looking at Sandman as well. And he's running a bunch of stakes races on top of it.
And who's the jockey?
He's got Jose.
Your boy Jose.
If I'm going on name, it's either going to be the 15 horse Render Judgment or it's going to be the 3 horse Final Gambit. Leperu's been snake bit, dude.
Oh, yeah, that's another jockey. I always stay away from him because
he's got some days at Keeneland where it's like he shows a lot of promise, and then other times it's just like, man.
So I don't know if you remember a jockey from back in the day at River Downs, Steve Neff.
I remember the name.
But I'm going to tell you, my life could be on the line, and I wouldn't bet on that guy.
I remember his name.
Well, speaking life on the line, what horses, give me two or three horses you're staying away from in this race. How about that? Besides the obvious long shots, like something you'd say, yeah, people might bet on that one, but I don't know. I'll start with Render Judgment just because Leperu, I mean, that dude is snake bit for some reason.
Yeah, I would. Well, and then 6 and 7, which I think are they both Japanese owned?
Yeah, they both I don't are. Necessarily like that either.
I just don't know enough about them. I mean, they came close. You know, that the Japanese horse came close last year. I'm not hearing a whole lot about the Japanese horses this year, like you did in years past.
Yeah, but even has a Japanese horse ever won it?
No. Yeah, I think the closest was that one from last year. What got third?
Yeah, I would say if you're not talking extreme long shots for me, I mean, that's only one of the two, but the two Japanese horse, just because, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know enough about them, but they don't look like they've been running in great races. You know, they were maiden special weight for 3 to 4 races before they broke their maiden.
Well, John, but with the newfound information you gave me, they've run against some big fields.
They have done that.
Run and won against some big fields. A 16-horse field. Yeah, they both have won with 16 horses in the field.
Well, that might be a new angle.
Could be.
Well, and
something else to think about.
I mean, the money they've accumulated from those races just doesn't look that interesting to me.
Well, if you want to go on, like, history, I mean, the one pole position is historically terrible spot to be in. 17 and 18, Schuster brought it up. I don't think they've ever won. 20s, you're on the outside. It's wide open field, but you also got a little bit longer distance to go being that far out on the outside.
Yeah, there's not many that win from that. When does it go to the second gate? Number 13 or something like that?
I think so. Because 12, typically 12 is in the first gate.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. Is that what it is? That once you get to that second set of gates?
Correct.
Pretty much bad batch.
Well, I mean, there's been winners from those posts.
Obviously, but
it's not as common.
Exactly.
Now, when you're talking exactas, I haven't done a lot of research, but I think throw that out. Or I should say exotic bets, exactas, trifectas.
I agree with that, yeah. Because, again, you just need them getting the money.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun. You got any derby parties you're going to?
My sister-in-law's having one. They had one last year, and I think we're supposed to get a little dressed up, so I might break out the bow tie. And
oh dear, send us a picture.
Okay. Oh yeah,
it's my derby. It's the same outfit I wore at the derby when I went like 5 years ago. It's nothing too outlandish. Do you guys ever look at the Oaks?
Honestly, man, I'm usually like so busy with stuff in life that I don't necessarily.
I would say I look at the Oaks if there's a filly that caught my attention when I went to Keeneland. But the spring meet, there was not a filly that caught my attention per se. Probably because I didn't watch the Ashland Stakes.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't see as much about the Derby, or I didn't see a lot of media coverage. Usually maybe I just didn't follow it as closely. But sometimes, you know, you'll go into your Yahoo account or something, or on the Yahoo page, and it'll be like the headline, and haven't seen that. I kind of had to search for stuff this year.
But I will probably late in the week, Saturday morning, I'll start taking a look at, I think usually the graded stakes races start around the fifth race on Saturday, so I'll take a look at some of those earlier races.
Yeah, so that's another thing I do. Since I'm usually trying to bet on the hot hand of jockeys, I won't place a bet until fourth race, like at the earliest most days, or at least not a serious bet.
Yeah, well then with the Derby, don't they start running about 10:30? Or I mean, they start early.
It's a long day at the track.
It's early.
Yeah, the year we went, I had a buddy that lives in Louisville, so we went down the night before and stayed at his house, and we watched the first two races from his house before we even left to go to the track.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Let's see if it says what time the race goes.
It was a long day.
So the first race goes off at 11 a.m. It looks like the first graded Stakes race is the fifth at 1:12 p.m.
Should we have a good idea what's going on by then?
Yep.
So it'll be a fun day.
Yeah. Do you guys want to have parties or you just...
Well, my neighbor's having one. Nice and easy. Walk right next door.
Yeah.
You know me, I'm kind of a vagabond going from here to there, so haven't gotten any specific invitations, but
a gypsy?
But the Irish pub a half a block from the condo here is having a derby party, so I might go over there. You know the Irish, they love horse racing.
Right. Might get some tips.
Well, as long as I have a Guinness, it's all good.
I was about to say, what kind of tips are you talking about? If it's an Irish pub and there's Irish in there and there's horse racing involved, it might be drunk tips. Might not be the most reliable.
This is true.
All right, Brian. Well, thank you for your thoughts on the Derby.
All right. We'll see. Hopefully one of us cashes or we all cash somehow.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in to the Derby Special. Next episode, we're going to talk about the Reds. We're going to do our one-month wrap-up and summary and the outlook for the season based on that first month of the 2025 season. So tune in a few days, and that thing's going to be hot.